everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And we got a great interview with Will Burkhart, who is returning as a headliner. It's been 2 years since he was with us. He did the show. We'll talk about the interview that we did with him in 2023 in reference to some things that have changed. And I thought that was cool. I really enjoyed interviewing Will, and he's certainly a young comedian on the rise and could be a real big star one day. He's where Nate Bargatze was 15 years ago. No, less than that, 10 years ago at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, doing his thing. Look at him now. That could be Will. But anyway, here's what's going on tonight as I'm recording this. July 29th, Tuesday, Detroit to LA Comedy Competition, 7:30 p.m. is the showtime for that one. And that's people, young comedians, bringing their friends and their family, trying to win a trip to LA. You get to vote. It's always a fun night. So that's tonight, July 29th at 7:30 p.m. And then tomorrow night, Wednesday, July 30th, Tom Arnold coming in for one show at 7:30 p.m. Tom Arnold's when he was here at the club many years ago now, maybe a decade ago, maybe a little less than that, was unbelievably great, super funny, tons of Hollywood stories, unbelievable. Nice guy, too. We love Tom Arnold. So 7:30 on Wednesday the 30th, you want to see Tom. And then Will Burkhart starts on Thursday the 31st and Friday and Saturday as well. We got a 7:30 show for you on July 1st, and then August 1st, 7:15 and 9:45 are your showtimes on Friday, and 7 p.m. and 9:30 are your showtimes Saturday, August 2nd. So August 1 and 2nd. We're into the month of August this week. Hey, yeah, well, that's all right, because we got great acts. Detroit to L.A. is always a big hit. Tom Arnold and then Will. So here's the deal with Will. He was on the show in 2023, and he was coming in. It was summertime, and we talked a lot about the show at the end of the block, which was Ed Sheeran, and how he was competing with that. But it turns out that week in 2023 was great for him. He uses clips that he recorded on that weekend, still today on his Instagram. He put one up this week. It was a riot to see, you know, because you were there when it happened, in my case. But it's really fun to see the club that way. It looks really fun through Instagram. It is really fun. But he did capture it, certainly in his clips, of him being there. A lot of crowd work from Will, but there is an act in there. And I give him credit for, really making the show, the full show, it's really sounds like you're hanging out with your buddy, and that's what's great. So there is crowd work. He does talk to the audience a little bit, but it's all very friendly. It's really not combative. He's trying to get to the bottom of things. He's weaving his material in and out of those stories, and he does it great. And again, Will's a young guy. I don't know how old he is. I should have asked him. You never ask a lady your age. Not that Will's a lady, but... But Will's great. We talk about his gay following a little bit. That's the thing we happened in 23, is that Will, if you didn't hear the 23 interview, you don't want to go back and pluck that one out. Which one was that? I'm gonna if you don't mind my Googling here for a second, I'm gonna try to figure out which show that was. 147, July 11 of 2023. If you want to even talk to Will, but there was this thing about him having a gay following, and he's not gay, and he didn't look for a gay following. The gays found him. So we did talk about that more, so to be a little out of context, he does talk about that in his special as well. So if you were wondering, his special, by the way, is called, the name of his special written down, Warm Regards by Will Burkhart. But anyway, he talks about his gay following. It's really funny clips that go along with that. I don't know. What else did we talk about? Oh, the big thing was I said to Will, I said, Will, last time in 2023, I didn't like that headshot you sent out. you were kind of in a hoodie and you were brooding and I didn't like it. You're a real happy comic. It's a fun time. You need to be smiling. This headshot that his people sent out for this weekend at the Comedy Castle has Will grinning from ear to ear, looking like the happiest guy in the world. And that's nice because that fits the tone. That fits the tone of this. This is a fun interview. Super easy guy to talk to. I loved his stuff about comedy. He has opinions on comedy. He has things that annoy him about stand-up comedy, and he tells me what those are. I agree with pretty much all of them. He's very smart and just a treat. Just a great dude and a really fun up-and-coming comedian who's coming to make you laugh this weekend. So go see him. Tickets, as always, for all the shows I talked about, comedycastle.com. I'm going to shut up. Here's Will Burkhardt, everybody. All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining me once again here on the Comedy Castle podcast, Will Burkhardt is back. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's great. Well, it's great to have you back at the club. I feel like, you know, I look at your calendar this week, what's coming up, and then I listen back to the interview we did 2 years ago. You are pretty much going nonstop.
Pretty much nonstop. You know, I've had some breaks after the special taping and that came out and everything. I had some breaks, but I've been going nonstop, man. This is my job. So that's it's great. Like, this is now, you know, this is how I make a living. So it's like kind of, it's mixed with the fun of it and also the necessity to pay my bills. So it's but great, but it's, you know, I don't really have a job.
Well, it's
so
your business, it's but it great. Seems like business is good. That's what I'm kind of getting at.
There. I know so. I'm running a business and I'm the business and the business is thriving. So
that's great.
The vibes are great.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm on your Instagram today and I see clip from 2 years ago at our club.
Yeah.
Was posted this week. So that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah, funny enough, that was a very successful clip for me. So I have very, very fond memories of the old Comedy Castle.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a great week. And
yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah, it was super fun. Because it was right about 2 years ago. It was July of 23.
Yeah. And that was funny enough. It was like, that was my first time going. I'd never been to Michigan. Okay, what's funny enough is that like, I still have never been to Detroit. I've only been to Royal Oak. So my experience of Michigan is simply Royal Oak and it's fantastic. There's something about Royal Oak that I just find so charming and nice. It's like, it's like everything's on this one block, you know, cause the hotel's near the club and it's just this little nice little ecosystem of like a couple restaurants, couple coffee shops. It's like everything I needed. The weather was beautiful. It was just, I had such a good time there. Very fond memories. And it was the most tickets I had ever sold in my career.
Oh, really?
That point. Wow. Was that weekend. That's random great. Weekend in the summer in some place I've never been before. Was like an unbelievably successful time for me. So again, like nothing but fond memories about Royal Oak.
Well, let's give this podcast a portion of that success. I don't want to say all of it, but
I mean, look, we could 3%, say all of it.
3%.
Who knows?
3%. You know what I mean? I 3% is, 3% of the success. 3%?
Three is generous. Right, like, you know, three is totally fine. We can talk about more after. We can get into the numbers after.
I just want to say, I don't want 3% of the money. I just want 3% of the credit. You get all the credit you need.
You get all the money. I'll toss you a cold bucks for the 3%. I think that's only fair.
3%. Well, and it was funny. The interview was like, Ed Sheeran's down the street on Friday night. I hope you draw.
Oh, man. Was that was when I was there 2 years ago?
Yeah. Ed Sheeran did the 1,000-seat theater up the street from us. And then the next day he did Ford Field.
Right.
And since we had an interview, it was my wife's birthday that week. I took her to the Ed Sheeran show at Ford Field and Eminem got on stage and did two songs.
Whoa. Yeah. That's killer. That's best case scenario right
Fun
there.
Fun weekend. Yeah.
I mean, is Eminem, is he as a Michigan resident, I assume, is Eminem as much of a legend as
Absolutely.
I would assume he is?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's not any opinion of mine. It's just the kind of the fact.
That's the fact. Oh, I want to hear the facts. I mean,
whether I like him or not is another opinion. Which
you don't exactly scream Eminem fandom, but no offense.
People that know me may know why that is, and other people, there's actually reasons that a lot of people don't know. But when he came out at Ford Field with Ed Sheeran, I cheered. I got, you know,
I mean,
that
you
was cool. That was
crazy. You'd be crazy for being like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh.
I mean, people were like, that was, and even Ed Sheeran gave an interview. He said, that was the loudest a crowd ever has ever gotten.
Wow.
life was when Eminem showed up for real. So
well, imagine if Eminem came out to the Royal Oak Thousand Seater. Imagine that. That probably would have exploded the place probably. Right. And who knows? Maybe Eminem will be with me this weekend.
Maybe he shows up with Will.
I can't say either way 100%. So I can't confirm or deny.
I hope, he is apparently, from what I know, a big comedy fan. And I've never seen him in the club as long as I've been hanging out at the club.
Well, look, I can't say much, but come out to the shows. That's all I'm going to say. I can't say much.
On behalf of the Comedy Castle ownership and staff, Will is saying.
No.
Will is teasing the staff.
Hey, I didn't say yes or no.
No.
We
don't know. He could be there.
We can't say either way. I can't confirm. Legally, I can't confirm or deny.
That's that'd be amazing. But that's always fun. Comics pop in, though. You ever have comics pop in on you?
Like on my own shows?
Yeah, like come a in? Guy comes in and like is like doing it, you're working and somebody's like, hey, by the way, Tim Allen's here to do his set.
Oh, if only Tim Allen's there. No, I can't say that's ever happened before. Really? I've had no like big names have dropped in. And I mean, yeah, I've never had that happen. I've had clubs book like, guest spots for people that are like the local folks. And I'm here's the thing about me though, is I don't like having too many openers.
Sure. Yeah. I get that.
I like doing a two man show or a two person show. I like having one opener and then bring me up because oftentimes clubs will do the host, the feature, and then a headliner and even a guest spot. And I don't like too many give it up fours. Give it up for this guy. Okay. Now give it up for this girl. Yeah, okay. Now give it up for this guy. Okay. Yeah. Now give it up for the guy. Right. It's like, too much. It's too much. Too much. So I want one guy to go up, do like 20 minutes,
I agree.
Bring me up.
Yeah. I
That's
agree.
What I want.
I tell my audience, my students of my comedy class, I say, you want to get people excited, but people didn't pay money, get dressed up, go out on the town to give it up for people. They came to laugh. You got to make them laugh.
Yes, I completely agree. And I don't like another one of my, I have a lot of comedy pet peeves, one of them is, I don't like when people say like, and this is, and no offense if you've said that or anyone else is listening has said that, but like to give it up for yourselves.
I hate
give it up
that
for yourselves
too.
For coming out. Yeah. I don't like it. What do you? I'm clapping for myself. Like it's like you're just getting a reaction. It's like you just want to hear clap. I'm like, who cares? They already clapped when you came out. Maybe give it up for like. I'd rather give it up for the wait staff. Give it up for the wait staff or something. Give it up for yourself is like, who am I? I'm not getting, who are you? What?
Yeah.
It's stupid. I don't like give it up for yourselves. No,
it's
I'm
a little bit
it.
Of like therapy. It's a little bit of, it's like the participation trophy of comedy.
God, it's like, give it up for the chairs and the tables. It's like, who cares? Do your jokes. Quit making me clap.
All right. I love it. He's fired up. Oh, that's great. And then another thing that I gleaned from our past interview, and I think you've remedied this. I'm going to check here real quick as I speak to you on the Comedy Cast. Oh, yeah. So one of the complaints I said to you, I said, Will, here's the thing, man. I was looking at you. I saw your headshot, and then I watched all your stuff. This is before I talked to you. And I said, you got this brooding headshot. You need a happy headshot. You need to be smiling.
Oh, yes, yes.
Do you remember that?
I do kind of remember that, yeah.
We've got a headshot of you on our site on comedycastle.com, and you are smiling ear to ear. It looks terrific.
Well, look, man, clearly the little more success has caused me to smile more, I guess. That's totally fair. I think it was the beginning of my tour. I mean, 2023 was my first year touring as a headliner. Right, right. So look, man, I need to work out some kinks, I was telling people to give it up for the ceiling and the lights and shit, and the headshot was bad. And so now I'm figuring it all out, man. I'm
good.
Smiling.
The headshot was bad. So, it just didn't reflect your performance.
Which I definitely get. And are you okay with the current headshot?
I love the new
changes
headshot.
To it. You need me to do any retouching change the background?
It's absolutely great. I will be using this headshot on Comedy Castle podcast.
You can use it too if you want for yourself. I don't really care.
I don't know what I'm doing with it other than putting it on. I'll put it on the Instagram.
Perfect.
Let people listen to the show if they want. But yeah, that's great. So tell us about this touring life of yours. What's the hardest part? What's the hardest part?
Hardest part, I'm pretty used to the flying and the driving and all that stuff and the staying in different places. That's not very hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad, who's been like a president of an advertising agency for years, and he travels all the time. Mm-hmm. And he's always just like, flying is easy. You just sit on your ass.
Yeah.
For 4 hours. That's all you just sit there. So it's like, that's not the hardest part. I think eating is where I struggle the most, is trying to get some not just garbage food, mm-hmm. especially at like a late night. You know, I'm flying into Detroit at like 11, and so I'm already nervous that I'm going to have like Wingstop or like, you know, no offense if they're a sponsor. But you know, it's like just trying to find a decent meal because I eat very well. I mean, I live in Los Angeles, so I'm totally like snobby and clean eating type of dude. So it's like when I'm in the Midwest in the middle of the night, I'm like, shit, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I think that's the hardest part.
Yeah, that can be. I mean, Royal Oak, you know, during the day, they got you covered on eating good.
I know.
But yeah,
at night, what do I do? What do I do at night? Where do I eat at night? What do I do?
I think some of the taco places might be open late.
Okay.
So that's definitely an option. It's really tough late at night because, you know, since the pandemic, stuff's just not open late.
Yeah,
you know, we used to have 24-hour diners and things, and not the diner food.
That would be great.
But that's almost all gone away. There's a Coney Island restaurant on Main Street, not far from the hotel, that could be open at that hour getting in. But yeah, it's definitely a challenge. And I agree, you know, working late as I do at the club, I run into that too. Mm. Like,
yeah,
anything.
So I think that was kind of hard. And I think for a while, like a lot of things that people don't really talk about is like when you start headlining and you're not like, you know, you're not like a hugely successful dude. It's like it's very easy to stress about like ticket sales because that's how you make your living and about how like kind of the business views you, you know. So if you're not selling a lot, you could be like demoted or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think when I first started, I was very stressed about like selling enough tickets so I can keep doing this shit. That was my whole thing. I just want to keep doing this. Even if I don't blow up or whatever, I just want to be able to do this because it's so fun. And so now I've reached a point where I'm not stressing anymore. But that's, again, something that not enough people talk about is that it's pretty stressful because you feel it's pressure, you know, when you start headlining. So you got to be, you know, you're the business and you're the CEO and every other role too.
Yeah.
So you got to bring it. Luckily a lot of that stress has subsided.
Well, that's great because that's a common question I get as the host of this podcast. Like, you know, before we officially like bring the audience in, you're like, hey, Joel, how are the numbers this week? And I go, I got no idea, dude. It is not my department. You can call the office.
Right.
They'll tell you.
I know.
But it's like, that's definitely a thing that I hear from, you know, people that you wouldn't. Sometimes I'm almost like charmed that, you know, I don't want to name a name, but, you know, like this famous guy is worried. I'm like, no, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I know, you know,
but dude, they're worried
never,
too.
It never ends. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I think, again, like not very talked about.
Sure.
I don't know how much inside comedy, inside baseball do you like to have the show, is something that I think is not talked about enough.
I think that's right. a real thing.
Even the big dogs are like, oh, how many tickets do we sell out at Madison Square Garden? Like, how many tickets are left? It's like, I don't think it ever changes.
Yeah, I think here's the thing about show business and this, I don't know, you know, where you fall on this scale, but it's more about money than most people think. I mean, I think because, you know, when anybody sits down on a chat show or even a podcast, I'm doing this. I love this movie. This script came to me and it was great. And I know that, you know, that's literally not why people sign up to do things in a lot of cases. And it's not why even, you know, comics go on the road. You know, why do they love the Comedy Castle? It's probably make a ton of money. It's a huge club and we're busy, you know. So like that is definitely a thing that I think is not talked about, that I think the general public, you know, I mean, you may love coming and you may love doing these shows, but, you know, there are people that are out there and they're doing it for you know. His wife took their house in the divorce. They need money.
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I think, look, it's like the money is cool. And like the more the more tickets you sell, the more money you make. Like it's inherent and it's a cool challenge. But I think for me, I think what drives me more is like the fulfillment. And I'm like almost competitive with like myself.
Yeah.
You know, like I set certain goals for myself. Mm-hmm. I set certain standards and I want to hit that. And also I want to be a guy who's just selling out weekends and stuff. And so that's, I just set myself kind of goals that are not like tied to money. It's more just tied to like my own kind of benchmarks, my own fulfillment and just kind of wanting to maintain a certain status in this business. That's not exactly tied to money. It's more just like being a guy who's like one of the top comedians. I think that's the goal, you know, money aside.
Well, one of the things that you've done real smartly, and we talked about it last time, but we'll get into it a little bit here, is just the consistent, the clips, the social media, the YouTube stuff. I mean, people don't realize, and I know this, even like YouTube people that maybe aren't comics, but just other people, is the archive. And, you know, I've podcasted for about 20 years now. And just the archive of stuff that you do will continue to get listened to and clicked on and watched and consumed in a way that when you have that, when you do it, that's why people say do it consistently. If you do something for years and years, you've now got hundreds of those things out there.
Yeah, for
sure. And people don't realize that that thing that you did 5 years ago, you know, it's not doing, you know, thousands and thousands of views a day, but it could do hundreds a day. And it just, those stuff never goes away. And you can get popular just by having that stuff out there all the time. And
I know. Well, I think that, I think people put out the word consistency a lot. A lot of times that's what people talk about. And then what it means is like continuously. It's like once someone follows you, right? Literally or figuratively, it's like they want to, it means they want to see more. And you have to kind of feed their appetite, but also not overfeed them. Cause I think people think that consistency means like posting something like every day. And I think it's a fine line. I think people get sick of you. I think they're like, it becomes less special. Like I've always liked posting like maybe like two clips a week. That's enough to get people like, oh, cool, another clip, as opposed to like, who cares? It's just another clip of him yapping. Who cares? But I think it's you're right. It's like building up that back catalog. And I have, you know, systems in place to, you know, I've been doing this for 4 or 5 years every single week. And I've never missed a week. I've done two or three clips a week for 5 years just because I know it's because it's my job.
Yeah.
This is what I do for work. This is my job.
But that will you know, people will build up even when you're, it's almost like, you know, putting money and you know, put the money here and it will work for you. It's like, but make those clips, put out those podcasts, put out all of this stuff and have it sort of be out in the ether. It may not see like, oh, I did this thing and it wasn't a hit or you did whatever. But the body of work will pay off. You know, you do one thing, you stop doing it. Well, of course it's going to fail. It failed right away.
Right. Well, I always say it's like a business of you never know.
Yeah.
You just don't know what's going to hit. So you may as well throw it out there, you know, and don't get discouraged if you're not, you don't have a million followers after a month. It's like, be patient.
Yeah. You might. Well, let's get into some of the clips because I was watching some of the stuff. The clips and of course the special, but the one clip that really got me was because we talked about you having gay fans last time on the show. We don't have to get too far into that. They come out and you said to a guy on a clip, you said, "Who's your dream? Who's your ideal man? Or who's your dream man?" Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I think I do. Is the one where he points to the guy?
He points. It was that guy. That was great.
That was awesome. Oh. Yeah, that was so funny. It's so fun. And like, again, for people listening, it was essentially, I asked him, like, what's your type? And he just goes, that guy. Like he points right at some guy.
Some guy at another table. Not with
like a guy he had, like, exactly. A guy he had, like, clocked, like, when he walked in. And it's almost like he was waiting for me to ask the question. Oh. It was so confident and so funny. Oh. It was just like a perfect, that's what you want.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you, when you go into the crowd, that's like a jackpot. Like you're like crowd work. I always say crowd work is gambling.
Yeah.
Like you don't know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's like kind of funny. Sometimes it's a dud. You get some person's really boring. You got to pivot out of it. And sometimes you hit a jackpot. And that was such a gold mine.
That one was,
it was
terrific,
so funny. Yeah. So sometimes you just never know what you're going to get. And sometimes, sometimes people are ready for it.
And if you're looking to meet somebody this weekend, come on out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Guy at the other table. It's
hell yeah.
It's happened already. There's a precedent set at Will shows.
I'm a matchmaker.
You did it. And the other one was great was the dating bingo card the lady had.
Oh, that was so funny. Yeah, I asked this girl. Yeah, I was like, what, you know, what's your type or something? It's like a similar type of question. Like, how's the dating going? And she's like, I made a dating bingo card. And I grabbed her phone. Not grabbed it. She handed me her phone. And then I just like went through the different squares and they were really funny. I think the one that made me laugh was it was like date lasts less than 15 minutes or something. And she, or 30 minutes. And then she had a date that lasted like 12 and she told me about it. So it was really, I love having those like unique experiences. Yeah. Like, especially when you have someone's like phone, I don't know, just seeing, it's just something different. I think that's what I liked about that. And I try to think of different and interesting ways to interact with the crowd. And look, my show also isn't all crowd work, but when I do talk to people, I do try to find unique situations or ask unique questions that I feel like haven't really been touched on before or, you know.
Yeah. And one of the things about your special Warm Regards, which I sat down to watch today, is it starts out and I'm sort of going, all right, what's the first bit? And I realize I'm like 10 minutes in and it's like, it just sort of, you come out and you're just talking to the people.
Yeah.
And it just goes, oh, that's really just, this is the start of the show. What a cool way to start the, you know, a special. That was really neat.
Oh, that's really cool. I appreciate you saying that. And yeah,
it was just very sort of casual. It really felt like, you know, I felt like a real show in a sense, more like it felt more organic than, you know, sometimes comedy specials, you watch enough of them, the first bit is always like it hits you over the head and it's all this and you're
it's just so felt clear.
Yeah.
It's so clear. This is the first joke or something like that.
Right, yeah.
So I think that's really nice. I think that's what I had a couple of like goals with the special. I mean, obviously not my first one. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, and I also produced it myself. I edited it myself. Mm-hmm. Other than having like an amazing crew, I did a lot of it myself. And so I was very hands-on with what the product was going to look like, mainly because it was my first one. So I was like, I'm not going to hand this off to somebody to like butcher it. So I spent like hours and hours and hours editing it. And I mainly just wanted it to feel like you were just at a show of mine, and meaning like I do jokes, I go into the crowd a little bit, go back to jokes, talk to the crowd a little bit. Like I wanted it to very much feel like you're at one of my shows, as opposed to just doing jokes. It's like, oh, this is a special, but it's fun to kind of talk to the crowd a little bit, because it's like, that's what it is like in my shows. And I like the kind of casual nature of it. I feel like I consider a show is like me hanging out with all you guys. Mm-hmm. Let's all just hang out together.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, instead of like, I'm going to pretend like there's this glass wall and I'm just this clown performing. It's like, no, we're all just hanging out. Like I want it to be like a fun dinner party. That's what I want the show to be. And I don't want to ever be like, people are like, oh, I want to sit front row so you can roast me. I'm like, not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not roasting people. We're all just hanging out. And like, yeah, I'm gonna give you, maybe tease you about something funny you say, but I'm not about to be like, hey, no shirt, idiot. I'm like, this guy just paid, this guy got a babysitter. Why am I gonna yell at him about his shirt? It's like, that's not my style. So I'm glad you said that, because I think that is what I'm trying to come across as. It's just like a fun, casual, let's all hang.
Yeah,
you know?
The front row seems so happy to be at a show. It's almost like encouraging people to sit, and maybe that's the goal. Like, you want people to sit in the front row of your show, right? You want,
well, I don't want people to feel nervous.
Yeah,
I don't want people to feel like, oh no,
in general,
is he gonna like, you know, and sure, I get people in the front row who are like not wanting to sit there, and you can usually tell, and then it's like, hey, don't talk to those people then, you know, but, or you know, I also don't want to talk to people who are like too overly like talk to me, because then it's like, oh, you're gonna try to be funny. Like, don't try to be funny.
Right.
That's my job. Be you.
Yeah. Well, it happened once where a comic went into the front row, talked to a lady, and the lady took her prosthetic leg off and threw it on the stage, all right?
Whoa.
Funny moment, right? Hilarious moment. You know, just kind of happened out of the blue. 6 months later, the lady's back at a show. She sits, buys the ticket in the front row. What do you think happens?
Oh, she does the same bit again.
Different comic, does the same bit.
Whoa.
And dude, I was kind of like, something's wrong. Yeah, she was putting... Like, she planned it all out.
Like, she could, like, hire. Like, she could be, like, for hire. It's like, hey, you want a good clip? Hire me for $100 a night. We'll do a whole prosthetic leg bit. I'm like, that sounds like a good offer, honestly.
It's good. It sort of is, but I also kind of looked at it and went, like, okay, why you bought the ticket in the front row.
That's pretty ridiculous.
It felt a little, you know... I kind of felt a little sleazy to me.
A little look at me. It's a little like, I'm the star of the show.
I mean, the audience didn't know any different, but you know, the guys on the staff were like, oh, she's back. Okay.
Well, what's funny is that like, it actually kind of works out, because the comedian doesn't know. It's only you guys.
Yeah. We knew.
So it's like,
we knew.
It's kind of like, who cares? I'm not mad at this situation.
So if you have one leg, come to the show this weekend.
No matter how many limbs you have, come out to the show.
Exactly. That's great. And you know, there's a woman with giant breasts that shows up at the show. She sits in the front row.
Well, look, man, I have a lovely girlfriend. I don't really pay attention to that stuff. She can sit front row. She can sit back. You know, I'm just there to have fun. You know what I mean? I like my career and I'm going to keep it as is.
Well, let's talk about your girlfriend. Now, according to special, you met on Bumble, you said.
Yeah.
I met my wife on Bumble. I got married this year.
Wow.
Met my wife on Bumble. No, not at all. But I met my wife on Bumble, so it worked for me.
That's great. Yeah. That's great, man. It worked for me too. It was during the pandemic, and we were bored, and we were like, let's see what's going on. And then I met this girl who I was like, oh my God. I was like head over heels based off like pictures. I was like, this girl's amazing. And then she agreed to hang out with me. And I was like, no way. And now 5 years later, we're living in a house together and have a dog, and life's good.
And someone's wonderful. Love it.
So, and she's able to put up with me doing this very silly job and being gone all the time. So she's a saint for putting up with all this. So I definitely also couldn't do it without her, because I think she's my biggest confidant and my biggest kind of ally through this whole crazy business.
It's really nice.
And it was like, you know, in the green room of the special, the first person I saw when I walked off stage. And so it's been very special.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Tell me this. We'll get out of here on this. When you started out as a young comic, you're Will Bacart, the opening act, you're opening for these people.
Sure.
Did you have any legendary people that you really looked up to in this business that you got the opportunity to work with as an opening act?
Oh, man. I mean, I'd say the best one's probably Bobby Lee,
okay.
just because I watched him like on that TV growing up. And I obviously yeah. like he's a legend, you know, yeah. and then I just like met him at the Comedy Store in LA through like someone else. And he, I don't know if I told this on the last podcast, but like he did, basically yeah. invite another buddy, comedian friend who I looked up to, Brent Morin, who's just one of the funniest guys ever. Yeah. He was like, hey, Bobby, you should take Will. Like, he's ready. You should take him on the road. And I didn't know this. This was like yeah. on the hallway somewhere. And Bobby asked me to open for him in Denver at the like arguably one of the best clubs in the country without ever seeing me do stand up.
Wow.
So I opened for him 3-4 years into comedy, and I was doing a half hour on 5 sold out shows.
Nice.
And he had never even seen me on stage. he just liked my vibe.
Nice.
And Brent put in good word, but it was so, so surreal
yeah.
to be in that situation with this guy that with like this All legend right. that like I don't even know. And he doesn't even know me, but he's just like, yeah, come do a half hour
yeah.
on these sold out shows. That was like an incredible experience. And oh. I very much felt like I like kind of had like made it.
Yeah, absolutely.
but then I didn't realize how much more work is ahead of me, but that was an amazing experience.
But that's great. And the confidence that he has as, you know, like even if you screw it up, he must be confident I'll get him back. That's
I think
okay.
So
if this kid
too.
Digs a hole, I'm yeah. Bobby Lee. I have no issue. I can follow
totally,
anybody.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think that's totally right. He can put the woman with one leg on stage and she probably still follow it, you know?
That's great, man. You need that help starting out. I think that's always a thing that you get that yeah. endorsement or you get to work with somebody who thinks you're good and you expect
totally.
Them and
totally. Yeah. It's a lot of about confidence building and just, you know, and just being sure of yourself. So yeah. when people kind of like that will co-sign you, like, yeah, that goes a long way. And I think about that too in my position. Like I try to also be helpful and cool to newer comics and give out opportunities when I can, or just give advice and just be, you know, it's just be cool on the way up. Just kind of be cool the whole time.
Yeah.
It's very easy, you know?
Well, then people are going to be saying they opened for you.
Hey man, that'd be nice.
Be like, Will's opening act.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Really made my career that weekend.
Damn right.
Who knows? But you're a young man. You're gonna meet so many people in this career. You're gonna have so many you know, young comics wanting to be you and looking up to you.
It is a funny position to be in because I remember when I was that guy, and it is funny when I'll like meet newer comics and,
yeah.
and I'll be like, hey, my name's Will, and they're like, I know. I'm like, oh, okay, that's different.
Well, I think one thing that's changed, and I've been in 25 years, and it has changed. There is the new comics are way more sophisticated than they used to be. That is
yeah.
the thing I'd say.
Yeah, well, yeah. They're just exposed to
yeah,
so much more comedy
so many,
now.
Yeah, much more to see and
totally.
You know,
people, I think it's an amazing time to be a comedian.
I think so.
It's just it's a wonderful time to do this.
All right. Well, listen, we're gonna have you out for what do we got? 4 shows this weekend. 5 shows.
I think it's 5. Yeah,
I think
we're doing
it's 5. Let's
we're doing
do 5. Come on now, 5.
We're doing 5.
Right, perfect. Well, it should be great times with Will Burkhart this weekend. I'll see you there. I want
to
see everybody.
Looking forward to it.
Front row, get ready.
Yeah.
Whatever. Meet your man. Meet your lady of your dreams in the audience. Can't make
you never
that
know
promise.
What's gonna happen,
yeah.
You, no. But,
yeah. Come
hey,
on. Out.
You never know. You
yeah.
never know. You never know.
We're not going to give it up for you, but you come out.
We'll have a good time, and I'll see everyone there. And please watch my special on YouTube.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you. It's only a half hour, mm-hmm. and I think it's a really fun, easy, quick,
yeah.
good time. So go check it out on YouTube.
Nice. Hey, Will, thanks so much for talking to me. We'll see you this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. Okay, bud. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Well, there it is, guys. Will Burkhart. Fun. Fun. I think we get along pretty good, me and him. He rolls with stuff. He's a good, we're a good team. He wants no part of my team, but if we wanted to be a team, we'd be a great team. We will continue to work separately, I'm sure, but when we get together, it is nice. It is fun. I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Will's great. So come on out. Come see the show. Of course, Detroit to L.A., as you many of you are listening to this on Tuesday, and Tom Arnold on Wednesday, July 30th. Real treat to have Tom back. It's been a million years since Tom was there, and he's super funny, and I was really impressed with what Tom Arnold did last time. And, of course, Will Burkhart, thank you for talking to me. I'm really looking forward to those shows. All right, is that enough? I think so. That's enough to get you to come to the club this weekend. Yeah, we had a great weekend last weekend with Sean Patton, too. I should have mentioned that. Sean's amazing. How Sean's not the biggest deal in the world at this point, I don't know, but he should be. He's fantastic. And that show, The English Teacher, it comes out in September, season two. Go check out season one of The English Teacher on FX with Sean Patton, last week's guest, because that guy's amazing. All right, let's get out of here. Let's say bye-bye. Let's see. Let's say not bye-bye. I'll see you at the Comedy Castle this weekend for Wilbur Cart or for Detroit to LA Tonight or Tom Arnold tomorrow. I don't know, but I'll see you. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye, guys.